I just couldn't continue to wait. And I knew that the older he got, the more difficult. But I also knew that he just needed someone that understood his needs and he would be able to flourish. And now he's 13 and I've been proven right.
Ever feel like you suck at this job? Motherhood, I mean. Have too much anxiety and not enough patience? Too much yelling, not enough play? There's no manual, no village, no guarantees. The stakes are high. We want so badly to get it right. But this is survival mode. We're just trying to make it to bedtime. So if you're full of mom guilt, your temper scares you, you feel like you're screwing everything up, and you're afraid to admit any of those things out loud, this podcast is for you. This is Failing Motherhood. I'm Danielle Bettman, and each week we'll chat with a mom ready to be real, sharing her insecurities, her fears, her failures, and her wins. We do not have it all figured out. That's not the goal. The goal is to remind you, you are the mom your kids need. They need what you have, you are good enough, and you're not alone. I hope you pop in earbuds, somehow sneak away, and get ready to hear some hope from the trenches. You belong here, friend. We're so glad you're here. Hey, it's Danielle. Thanks for tuning in. You are not going to regret the time that you devote to this episode today. Have you told a friend about failing motherhood? Friends don't let friends miss out. Do you agree with this mom? She wrote, "I can appreciate Danielle's approach to motherhood so much. She's extremely relatable and makes asking for help approachable. She's an awesome cheerleader to have in your corner." Thank you. If you have taken the time to leave a rating or review, I really appreciate the support. I've seen so many posts in moms groups and social media lately where moms are just falling apart. We're overwhelmed, exhausted, wishing they could give up and know that they don't have that choice. I wanted this podcast on the airwaves to meet each mom where they're at, and while it doesn't alleviate your pain or solve all their problems, at least it can help them feel less alone. I can't wait for you to hear Paulette's story. We know in our fierce mama bear hearts that we'll do anything for our kids, but Paulette really does put it all on the line. Nothing prepares you for parenting, but even more so, nothing prepares you for raising a child with special needs. Her tenacity is inspiring. Here's our conversation. Welcome to Failing Motherhood. My name is Danielle Bettman, and on today's episode, I'm joined by Paulette. Paulette Pinheiro is a Puerto Rican mother of two, a leadership coach, a podcaster, and owner of Lead Media, a management and strategy consulting company that works with emerging leaders and organizations to develop diverse, equitable, and inclusive challenge strategies. Welcome, Paulette. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yay. So have you ever felt like you were failing motherhood?
Every day?
Yes.
And sometimes a little bit more than that.
Welcome to the club.
Yes. Thank you. You're my people. I'm your people too. Yes.
You belong here.
Yeah, I do. And I'm learning that it's okay.
It's okay. Yes. That is exactly what this podcast is all about. We are owning it and we're going to make it through. Our kids are going to survive. Yep. And we're going to survive. Hopefully. Yes. So I know that you have faced a lot of adversity in your story, so I can't wait to hear more about it. But kind of take us back, set the scene. Who were you before becoming a mom?
Yeah, so I had just started college. I don't know why I decided to get married at 19. I was raised by very Catholic grandparents, but I've always been the rebel. And, you know, my grandma was like, "Why don't you get married with that boyfriend of yours that we know that he, you know, goes into your dorm and we'll pay for it." And I was like, "You know what? You can get divorced at any time." So I did. I got married at 19 and had my son Alex when I was 20. And, you know, when I talk about motherhood, I always talk about, you know, my family was like, oh my God, what are you doing? You're so young. I'm like, maybe you shouldn't have gotten married. You see stories, you hear from other people, you hear about motherhood, but what no one prepares you for, even at a young age, is to have a child with disabilities. And my son, you know, I had problems throughout the whole pregnancy. He was born at 32 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I was able to take him home, and a couple of days after, we were back, and he had pneumonia. And we were in and out of the hospital for his first year. We spent Christmas, New Year's. We celebrate Three Kings Day in Puerto Rico. We were there for that. I was there after for my birthday. And when it was time for him to kind of be showing some development and hitting his milestones, he was not there. He had hearing loss, and no one ever prepared me for that. They have prepared me for, like, how to breastfeed. And I went to classes and, you know, even giving birth, which was 28 hours of pushing a coconut, like my mom said. It's just like pushing a coconut. But no
one, like you do.
Like you do all the time. But no one ever prepared me to have a child with special needs. And I had to give up, you know, I was in school. That my son's dad, my husband at the time, we were very young. He was the same age. I was able to manage it, and he wasn't. He was just unable to manage the constant hospitalizations, doctors, you know, just even getting him to a preschool was hard because he wouldn't speak. He wouldn't allow other children to touch him, you know, being able to, like, hey, you need to pick up Alex because he's crying and we don't know what to do, and be able to leave your job to resolve that. Like, there's nothing that can prepare you for that. And I had never had that experience in my family, nor was even something that my family would speak about. And, you know, becoming a mom immediately had me feeling like I was failing at motherhood. Because of that.
Well, yeah, motherhood alone, even if you're like 35 with a typically developing baby, it's hard enough as it is because we expect to know what we're doing. And then you don't. Shock, surprise. But I can't even imagine being so young and taking on the responsibility of such a burden of, like, weight of responsibility, you know? Not that your child's a burden, but that you just have such a sense of, I need to do everything I can to get this child the help they need. What did that feel like for you?
And I just felt, I remember from the ages, from when Alexander was 2.5 until 3.5, I cried every day. I would put him to bed and I would cry because he wouldn't speak. So I didn't know if he was hungry, if he was, you know, if he needed water. Like, I just didn't know. And it was just me and Alex. You know, no one could take care of him. No one can babysit other than, you know, he would stay with my mom and he will only eat French fries with my mom. And my mom would just, like, go to McDonald's, get French fries, and just be like, hey, Alex, here you go. He would start screaming because he couldn't speak. If whatever he was feeling, he would just scream. He would hit himself. And I cried every single day. I would work full time. I was a program coordinator at a university, then pick him up from daycare, then drive 40 minutes to leave him with my mom. And then I was able to enroll in a very small campus right next to her home and take classes until 9:30, and then go back and then drive back and be home. And I wasn't even able to finish my degree at that time because then it just got more severe. As, you know, when you're 2 and 3, you know, preschool able to manage that behavior. But when you're a four-year-old, a five-year-old, the school setting is not prepared for that. And I had to go and work full-time in the evenings and then just be on call at home while he was at school.
Oh, wow. Because and his body got bigger, so that meant that he was more out of control than for the teachers.
And, yeah, and then the teachers, like, it's one thing to see a two-year-old, three-year-old crying because someone touched them. Is they don't feel as comfortable if that happens with a four- or five-year-old. And then I paid for private school to try to get services and get a better opportunity for him through private school, and it still didn't work. I remember that I went to his first parent-teacher meeting, and his teacher said, you have high hopes for Alex, and you need to understand that children with his degree of autism will not be able to achieve that. Mm. And it broke my heart, and I also wanted to kill that teacher.
Yeah, that's devastating to have someone say that to you.
Yeah, and my husband and I, I ended up with someone who I've known since I was 11. Mm-hmm. We kind of like reconnected on Facebook through, like, he posted a lyric of a song that I liked. I was still in my emo phase. I'm like 23. And he was living in Massachusetts and I was still in Puerto Rico, and we were kind of like dating, socially distant.
Very socially distant.
Because we had known each other since we were kids. And, he knew of the education system in Massachusetts, and that's something that I had been looking for. And, I tried private school, then we tried public school, and I decided I couldn't do it anymore after that meeting. Mm. So I left my job. We sold everything that we had, and all four of us went into a one-bedroom apartment in a family member's home in Boston. And it was, at that time, it was me, him, our not even one-year-old daughter, and then Alex. And it was not easy.
No. One bedroom?
Yeah, it was not easy, but I just couldn't continue to wait. And I knew that the older he got, the more difficult. But I also knew that he just needed someone that understood his needs and he would be able to flourish. And now he's 13 and I've been proven right.
Yes. Yes. Look at you. That is a fierce mama bear. I love that story, because now, you're able to see how it pays off. But then you had no guarantees. No. You were like risking everything and shaking your dice to say, I think it's worth trying because I need to know that I did everything I could to get him the help that he needed. That's amazing.
And that has been, that has been my motherhood journey. Even just my personal journey is so tied to me being a mom. Mm-hmm. The career choices that I made, everything that I have decided on has always been, about this big sacrifice, because my husband has now, his parents live in Rhode Island, like an hour away from us, but it's just the four of us. And we have sacrificed our kids being raised with their family, with their grandparents, the things that we love about Puerto Rico and our culture, to be able to give Alexander an opportunity for him to be successful. And most of the time it felt like we were drowning.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. But every time he hit a milestone. We moved here in April 2013, and Mother's Day 2014, he sat me down, he had started talking, And he read a whole book. And he was like, this is my Mother's Day gift.
What?
You can imagine how much I cry. I still gonna cry. And and he just like, Mom, sit. He said those two words, and I'm like, okay. He said, I love you. And he pulled out this small book, and he read a whole book. It was in first grade, and he read a whole book. And I've always said that I owe my life to Miss Brockington. Miss Brockington is part of our family. She lives like 10 minutes from us. Mm-hmm. Alexander just finished 7th grade, and she knows of Alex. She has gone to swim meet. She has gone to concerts, like, and she was only his first grade teacher.
Oh, that's the sweetest.
But she would stay after school as he waited for the school bus. She would stay with him to practice reading, to practice speaking. And we saw that all the sacrifice was worth it, and we know all the sacrifice was worth it. But as we were going through it, it just felt bad, and it felt like we were not doing enough, and I felt like it was, you know, it was all my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, why did I have a child so young? Or, like, why didn't I do this? Why, like, all the time. But it's so exciting to see him. He's in the honor roll right now at school.
Wow.
He gets in the honor roll, and he's been in plays, and so much progress because of that sacrifice. But it just takes time.
Yeah. Wow. That's so powerful. I'm thrilled to hear that he's doing so well. I'm sure that was thrown a wrench in your plans with everything being shut down this spring.
Yeah, not only that, I was hospitalized with COVID.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was in ICU for a week and a half. Yeah.
I'm so glad you're okay.
I know, me too. Thank you.
Wow, yeah. How stressful.
It was. It still is.
Yeah, that's traumatic.
Yeah, it is. And there's just, I have learned that in motherhood, like, there's always something that's going to happen and that you can prepare for things. But I have just learned to kind of like embrace it and know that I have the kind of like the tools to be able. It's like, if I was able to like do this with Alex and I was able to do A, B, and C, like, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it. I don't know how.
Yeah. Like, you can look at your life experience and your track record, and it proves to you you've done it before. You can do it again.
Yeah.
And we need those experiences in our life, just like our kids need those experiences to boost their actual self-confidence. Like, we can't just, like, tell them, no, you're going to be great. You're amazing. Good job. Good job. They have to actually know in themselves, like, I've done something I'm proud of. That makes me think that the next task I'll be able to do, you know,
exactly.
And like, as moms, we need that too, which only comes through the hard things.
Yeah. And I put so much love and care and time into Alex and Sophia that it's like, Paula needs some love too.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You're great too, Paul. You can do that.
Yes. Yeah. No, there's no room for self-care when you're drowning under that. I already know that you're striving to be an intentional parent by listening to this podcast. Is your home life not lining up with where you know it could be? Are you dreading family time? Are you sick of arguing with your spouse about discipline? I can help. Coaching allows us the opportunity to talk through everything, problem solve solutions, and provide the support and accountability for you to make the changes and see the changes. Go to parentingwholeheartedly.com/coaching to learn more and schedule a free call today. So What did it look like for you with your second daughter? How has that been a different experience, you know, parenting her? I'm assuming that, is she typically developing?
Yeah, and oh my God, Sophia is just Alexander's complete opposite, but they complement each other so well. Alexander will never want to admit that, you know, now he's 13, he's cool, he's getting a little mustache. Yeah,
can't tarnish that reputation.
No. But they've always needed each other. Sophia started speaking before she was 9 months. She was saying some words, and then when she was one, she was like, blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
And Sophia learned what Alexander needed. So Alexander would start a conversation and he stutter, so Sophia would finish it for him, and he would look at her like, mm-hmm. Yeah, what she's saying. So Sophia,
like, she had his back.
Yeah, she is Alexander's attorney. There's nothing that Alexander can do wrong in her eyes. She, even if he gets in trouble for like, no, Sophia, you're not playing, or like, don't do this, or they bicker all day. And like, Alexander, what happened? She's like, nothing, nothing. My brother, like, he didn't do anything. Did you do some? No, no, me, not me either. Like, I didn't do anything either. But she will defend him. Then she'll turn around and be like, Alexander, that was mean. You know I can tell mommy, right? But she developed not only for himself, but to be able to help him in everything that he needed. He was bullied once, and, you know, kids were making a lot of insensitive comments. You know, I had one of his friends, his dear friends, made a comment of like, well, Alex, you know, you won't get deported because you're white passing, but your mom isn't. So start, you know, get ready to say goodbye. Yeah, you know, conversations fourth graders apparently have. Yep.
Oh, gosh.
I know. And, you know, he came crying, and he wasn't able to articulate because, you know, self-regulation and emotional discussions are still difficult for him. He has ADHD, but he also has autism. And we're able. And when he told us, and Sophia heard, Sophia was like, so tomorrow I'm going to your school. I'm going to tell this person. And I'm like, you're in kindergarten. You're not going to a school. Like, that's not how it works, Sophia. She's like, you can punch me. And I'm like, that, Sophia, whoever taught you that you can punch people? It's like, Mom, I can do it on this one. And I'm like, what's happening? No. If anyone's hearing this, don't call the police. It's not what I teach my children. She was like, who's going to punch a kindergartner? Like, I'm super cute. You can't punch me back.
I love her.
I'm like, Sophia, we'll have this conversation after we're done with your brother.
Yeah. Can you let me handle one problem at a time?
And my husband's like, what is happening? What is happening? No. So she has been.
What a big heart. Yeah.
But then I have, you know, Alexander is quiet and an introvert. And then Sophia just fills the room all the time, and she's, you know, so amazing. And they're both so cool. I love my kids and they're so cool. But you know, I have a passion for Frozen too. I will watch it whenever I have the chance. And Sophia won't watch it again because, like, Mom, come on. How many times can we watch Frozen 2? You're saying you're watching it with me? And that's a lie. I don't want to watch it again. And she'll leave. And then Alexander will come like, I don't like it, but I'll watch it with you.
Oh.
So they're complete opposites. So they complement each other well.
Oh, your kids are the best.
They're really cool. I have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like you were feeling like pulled? Because I know every parent feels like they want to be able to balance their attention between multiple kids, you know, to make sure that they're all getting quality time. But if you have one child that has extra needs, then do you feel like you weren't able to give, you know, Sophia as much attention at some points? Or how did you try to balance that?
Yeah, I think, no, it's very easy to me to tell my story as Alexander's mom, because it's one that I'm proud of. Mm-hmm. But with Sophia, it's different. I remember that I got a call last year when she was in first grade. And almost at the end of first grade, and I got a call from her teacher saying, you know, Sophia's not doing well in math. I think it's time for us to talk. And I was just like, what? No. And I went to that meeting with my husband. And I remember as she was talking about Sophia and how she was struggling, and I knew that she needed extra help with math, with her homework, but I didn't know how much extra support the teacher was giving her in the classroom just for her to be able to do her homework at home. And that sometimes her teacher wasn't even sending her math homework, so she didn't struggle outside of the classroom. And as we were talking, I just started crying, and I felt like that is one of those big moments where I was like, what have I done? I've paid so much attention, and I have given my life for Alex and all these sacrifices, and I am failing Sophia. And I just could not stop. I felt like I was failing. I was like, this is it. Like, it doesn't matter everything that you have done. You have officially failed your daughter. What type of person are you? And it was, I went back and talked to her, and she was having a really hard time because my mom and my stepdad had divorced. And, you know, now she was having trouble at math, and it was clear, like, she knew that she was having trouble at math, and that now there's another teacher that's going to help me. And we went to the movies, and she had a full-blown panic attack at the movie theater.
Oh, no.
And I, you know, I was able to, you know, I had to take her to the car, and it was so bad. And I just tried to hold my tears as I'm helping her. And I was like, you have failed. You failed her. She's not doing well in school. She's not doing well emotionally. You're not a good mom. You don't know how to raise daughters. You don't know how to raise Sophia. And I was able to, you know, get her to see a therapist. And there has been a big change. And, you know, we tutor her in math. They did evaluations, and she, you know, she didn't get, services through the school. With some extra support, it was enough. But at that moment, it was just like, what are you doing? Like, just because Sophia has always been beyond her years, and she eloquently speaks like a young, you know, a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. that, she's still my baby, and I cannot believe that I forgot about that. So it's...
Can you give yourself grace now, looking back?
Oh, yeah. Now I can't. And also, like, I started seeing a therapist because of it, because the shame and the pain was so bad that I was like, I cannot get her help without helping myself, because I'm not going to be there for Sophia if every time something happens, I'm just going to start crying. So I started seeing a therapist too, and it really brought us stronger, because it wasn't just her managing her emotions as a child. It was like, oh, adults go through this too.
Yeah, and way to live that out by example.
And this is, and you know, she would go and she would talk to me. I would go with her on her therapy sessions. And I would be there with her and kind of like help her navigate. And I would tell her about mine after I was done. And then I spoke with my therapist and I said, I would like to bring Sophia to one of my sessions. And I was able to bring her with me and kind of talk through it together about what had happened and how I was feeling. I told her, you know, I feel like a bad mom and I'm sorry. And she was like, no, mommy, don't worry. You did what you needed to do. And it really brought us closer, but
I had
been so focused on it. It was just a lot. I felt a lot of shame. Like, that's a reality. I'm going to be very honest. I just felt so much shame because, like I said, Alexander's story, it's easy to tell because I was able to control it. But that story with Sophia, it just felt like it was out of control all the time.
Yeah. So that helplessness took over of, like, you couldn't prevent it. You couldn't do anything about it. You felt like it was your fault. Mm-hmm. All of that piled on. What work did you do through therapy that really kind of brought light to either where that was coming from or, like, what you could do differently to, you know, help give yourself more grace and see that you're doing the best you can?
One of the things that I learned through therapy, my husband will say when he told me this before, is that Alexander had hit, you know, Alexander was doing so much better, but I was I was a helicopter mom. If I could go into the classroom with him, I would have.
Understandably.
You know, if he needed anything, I was like, I'll do it. And no, he was 10. He was 11. He was in scouts. And I will go to the scout meeting and sit where the kids sat. And he was like, no, mommy, you can go with the parents go. Or, like, pick me up at 8. Mm-hmm. And my husband's like, you need to give him space. Like, we've put all the sacrifice. You have sacrificed your life and your career and all these things for Alex to be able to do these things independently. You need to step back. That was very hard. And that was something that I worked through the therapist because I was so scared. I was like, but if I'm not there, then they'll go back or things won't work out. Or, like, how am I going to fight for services? Like, it had always felt like it was a constant struggle and fight that I didn't know how to enjoy it. I didn't know how to be excited about his progress because it was always scary. He had ear surgery. He had, like, all these things, trying out medication. Like, it was always so scary. And working with the therapist, I was able to kind of, like, uncover why and, like, go back into my childhood, but also a lot of guilt of me, you know, marrying very young and being in a wrong relationship with his father. He hasn't had contact with his biological father in a long time. So I felt, even though my husband is his stepdad, he's in the process of adopting Alex, which Alex is super excited. Yeah. But I always felt like I need to be two people. And I was able to also, like, work on myself, and that helped me be a better mom. It helped me be a better mom for Alex. It helped me get rid of a lot of that guilt for Sophia, because being honest with myself, like, you're not three people. You're not three Paulettes. You're not three moms. You're not a mom and a dad for Alex and a mom for Sophia. You're one person.
Right. Yeah.
Doing her best with a lot of love.
Yes. Such an important thing to realize.
Yeah. So being able to talk through that and then have that experience with Sophia, seeing a therapist for a couple of months, like, it just changed the way that I parent my kids, but also how I talk to myself.
Good. Oh my gosh, I am so glad that you sought that help, because that can be so intimidating and scary and hard to put yourself out there in that way and feel like you're failing enough to need it, you know?
And that's how I felt. And there's someone who went to school for social work. And I was like, but but I know these things. Like, I know what the tools are. Mm. Why do I need to go see someone else? Like,
yeah,
I can open a book. I can Google enough and know which ones are good and which ones are bad.
Right. No, that's the reality. Yeah, mm-hmm. We have everything at our fingertips. So why do we need anything else?
Mm-hmm. And I barely take time to, like, use the bathroom without an interruption. Like, who has time for an hour?
For real.
But, yeah. But it was the best decision that I made for myself and also for my family.
I'm so glad. So what are you doing differently now because of that? Are you less of a helicopter parent?
Yes. Yes. I'm really happy about that. It doesn't mean that I don't freak out, but he's allowed to, like, spend the nights at his friend's house. And, you know, when he turned 12 and he wanted to take the school bus, I was like, okay. And then I didn't stand next to him waiting for the school bus in the morning. And, you know, he's like, he cooks. You know, he makes breakfast for himself because I was like, oh my God, you know, his motor skills are not good. So he can't put things, like, he can't boil an egg. Who is that? Mm-hmm. But giving him a lot of independence, but also independence for him to make the wrong choices.
That's huge.
Yeah. You know, and now I know that, we continue to work on him having initiative. It was because I was doing everything for him. And I've had that conversation with him a couple of times of, like, you know, I did all these things for you and what I did was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that we give you the tools to be successful. So, no, mom is not there to resolve. Mom is there to talk about it, to give you advice, to give you feedback if you want it. But, no, you need to take initiative. And he went from, you know, me sitting down for 2 hours after school every day to him coming from school, doing his homework by himself, and then showing me, to now I'm like, where are your grades? When is it? But he's in the honor roll. He was in the honor roll last year. He's in the honor roll this year. You know, he, like, there's, we live in a small town and there's, like, the town library, and that's the cool place to hang out.
Of course.
And yeah. And he'll call me and say, hey, I'm going with my friend to the library. Can I walk to the library? And the first time is like, so it's a 2-minute walk. Yeah, he can be kidnapped. You know, he can die. Mm-hmm. He can get lost. Of course he can.
Yeah, at any point. Yeah.
Yeah, anytime. And I was like, sure. Okay. And I, you know, he told me during lunch break, and I was at the library working when he got there. And he's like, hi, mom. No, let me know when we're leaving. And I was like, oh, so he's been cool with me being here? What?
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing something right.
Yeah. And then also changed me. It changed my relationship with Sophia, where we're able to have, you know, deeper conversations and get rid of the guilt. But I was able to have those conversations with her. And one of the things that it has helped me the most is that it has given me the emotional capacity to take care of myself and apply for jobs that I'm passionate about and, you know, have jobs where I travel a lot because now I'm doing what I, you know, things that I like, things that I want, because I know that they are okay, but also that we have a plan for things and I don't need to be the person resolving everything all the time. And, you know, I had a lot of arguments with my husband about that. He was like, but I'm here. Like, I'm not your helper. I'm their dad.
Yeah.
And I would be like, no. Yeah, you know, of course I know that. But I wasn't being authentic. I wasn't being honest.
Yeah. So, oh, that's so hard. That's so hard for every mom to be able to relinquish that control, but and navigate that relationship with their spouse. But even more when you feel like there's more stakes to lose of things that you have fought so hard to get and sacrifice to get there where you're at. Oh, that's that's fragile. Yeah.
I remember the first time he took Alex to one of his specialist appointments. He was like, let's put this into practice. I'm going to take it. And I'm like, but if I'm not there, I don't know everything that was discussed and every agreement. I was like, you got a report at the end and I'll take notes. And because I was traveling for work, I remember I was traveling to Atlanta and I'm like, nope, I won't. They'll be fine. They know, like, this is an agreement that we have. And my job, and he's like, no, just go. And I went and no one died.
Yay!
I got a report. He gave me the note. And, you know, I've been able to do so many amazing things. Now I've been able to open a business, which I thought I was going to, like, I can open a business maybe after Alexander finishes college. But I was able to do it because it not only changed the way that I perceive myself as a mom, but I'm a woman too, apparently.
Yes, you are.
Like, I can have things and do things.
Yes. Yes. You are still the you you were prior to all of this changing you, growing you, evolving you to become the woman you are today. But yeah, you cannot not embrace your own identity, because that is another thing that your kids can learn so much from, is how you just live your life and show them what's possible. That's amazing. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. And I talked to them about, especially Alex, who's older. Like, I've talked to him. We actually talked about this like a week and a half ago of, you know, I went from being a child to a teenager to a mom. I didn't take time to know who I was and who I wanted to be. And now I'm figuring that out. And I want you to have that opportunity. I want you to have that time because it's so important. It is, it's important for you to do that. And there's a lot of things when you're a teenager and you're growing up that sound very appetizing and sound very exciting, but you know, always come back and talk to me about it. Talk to your dad, talk to someone that you trust and will give you good advice on everything can happen, but it's okay if some things wait, or it's okay if you do them later. Because I didn't have time to figure out who I was as an individual or as a woman. Like, I wanted to be a computer engineer when I graduated high school. That is not what I went to school for, and that is not what I do. And I'm very happy that I didn't do that.
That worked out then.
It did work out, but I just didn't have time to be able to figure out all those things. And I'm excited that I'm doing that. I have prioritized that. But I'm also, you know, sharing my story with my kids so they know that there are different paths and different stories, and that they can make good decisions for themselves.
Yeah. You sound like such a good mom.
Oh, thank you.
Your kids are so lucky to have you.
Thank you. I try. It's nice when other people say it.
Yes. No, well, everybody needs listening. That reminder.
Yeah. Everyone's listening. You're a good mom.
Yes. Yes. Because when you believe it, then you do actually get even better at it. You know, we just need to have that mindset of, like, I can do this, and I am the right person for the job, and I've done it before. I'll do it again, you know?
Yeah. We do so good when we go to an interview. I am a leadership coach, and I coach people, I especially coach women. And a lot of the women that I talk to are either moms or caregivers. And, you know, it's very easy for us to learn how to sell ourselves for an interview. Like, we'll go back and, you know, in this previous job, I have this experience. These are my skill sets. And we connected to the job description so well. But we don't extend that to when we talk about motherhood to ourselves or to other people.
That's so true. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh. That just made me think of, like, if you had to write a motherhood resume of, like, all the things that you've done and proved yourself with in the past, of, like, all the struggles you've overcome and the things you've sacrificed and, like, the problems you've solved. Like, if you had that all on paper, you'd be like, wow, I'm a badass.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. Like, we need that proof. Because
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, those are all the skills that I have, the qualifications, the years of experience. Look at that. You know, we know how to put a birthday party together in an hour.
Right?
And then, you know, oh, the cake fell. You know, I can bake one. Cupcakes? Of course I can.
I cannot. That's why the image on the podcast is a cupcake falling over. But... that's me. I can do other things well.
I don't do it great, but I can do it. I can also get in the car and find the closest bakery and be like,
there you go.
Sure, $20.
Just as valuable. Yes.
Great.
Yes. I can whip up a good science fair project, you know, if you need to last minute or.
Hey, Alexander is trying to prepare for the 8th grade, and he does not want to do a volcano, so now I know who to call.
Mm, well, there you go. Yes. Well, tell us more about what you do now.
Yeah, so I had been dreaming of launching my business, and, you know, I've shared of, you know, my journey and all the work that I've been doing the last, you know, 2 years on myself. But when I was at the hospital with COVID, I had to sign paperwork as they did not expect for me to leave the hospital.
Wow.
I had to sign paperwork. I had to, you know, talk to a social worker and sign paperwork for my husband to take money out of our accounts because I was not going. I was not leaving that hospital. That was not the plan. And while I was there, I said, I am never... But if I leave this hospital, I'm never going to postpone my dreams. This is not happening. I need to live the same life that I want my children to live. I am someone else's daughter. I deserve all those amazing things that I want for my kids. And I said, if I leave, I'm just going to do this. Like, I'm going to do it. And I left. And I submitted my LLC paperwork, and I am a full-time business owner. So
yes, girl.
Yes, I'm very excited. I do leadership coaching. I focus on coaching women who are emerging leaders or who are leaders themselves. I'm so excited. I love it. I love doing this every day. It's just something that I love doing. So I created Lead Media. And I had, I went to see a business coach, and he was like, why lead media? Why not lead consulting? Because I do business and nonprofit consulting. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's Lead Media because this is going to be a full media conglomerate. I know what I want.
Nice.
I'm going to publish. I'm going to podcasting. I'm going to like have everything. So I'm going to start small with coaching. Uh-huh. And consulting, but I know where this is going because I know what I want and I'm working on it. So,
oh my gosh, that is so inspirational.
I gave it a big name to be able to do all of that.
Oh, that is badass. I am so proud of you. So he was like, okay, that's nice. You and your dreams. Yeah.
That's true.
That's cute.
Yes. And I'll do it in Spanish and English. So more clients.
Yeah. Twice the clients for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So exciting. So I will link all of the things of where people can connect with you in the show notes and things. If moms are business owners, what is like your pitch? What can you do for them?
Yeah, so what I specialize is in providing leadership solutions for companies and organizations who want to build diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, who want to diversify their pool of candidates for roles, and who are looking for help in managing remote teams. So COVID is the right time. If you have done something and it's not working, I'm here to help. 15 years of experience. And if you want to try doing remote work, I'm here to help. That is something that I'm passionate about. I love remote work. I have managed remote teams. So, I'm here to help.
Awesome. Yay. Thank you for sharing all that. I'm so excited to watch you take off and explode this company into something really big. Clearly, you are meant to be here and be doing what you're doing. So that's super, super exciting. The last question that I ask every guest that comes on is, how are you the mom that your kids need?
I am loving and caring, and I take care of myself first, so I'm able to take care of them.
Yes, that is the key. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you just spent like the last whole episode proving yourself to be the mom that your kids need. So yeah, mic drop on all of that. Well, thank you so much for your time and for joining us and for being so honest about the parts that are hard of your story, because it can be so inspirational to a mom that is still in the drowning phase to know that there is hope and there is light on the other side and there is so much good that can come from those circumstances. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity and for all the moms hearing. It gets better. It just gets better. And just take care of yourself. It's as important as taking care of your kids.
Wow, right? If you are parenting a child with special needs, I hope this episode fuels you to keep up all the hard work day in and day out. We see you and we're cheering you on. Always and of course, please remember, you are the mom that your kids need. Next episode, you'll get to hear from Melissa Pinnell, who's super open and honest in admitting that parenting has proved even more difficult than getting sober. I already know that you're striving to be an intentional parent by listening to this podcast. Is your home life not lining up with where you know it could be? Are you dreading family time? Are you sick of arguing with your spouse about discipline? I can help. Coaching allows us the opportunity to talk through everything, problem solve solutions, and provide the support and accountability for you to make the changes and see the changes. Go to parentingwholeheartedly.com/coaching to learn more and schedule a free call today. Thanks for coming on this journey with me. I believe in you, and I'm cheering you on.